What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, AEW NXT review for the second week of September. A couple pretty solid shows, I thought. Let's go ahead and get into them. NXT Super Tuesday 2. I like this NXT Championship match kicking off the show. It did give the feel that it continued from last week. I mean, I remember when I grew up watching like a Sting-Ric Flair match, and it didn't end on WCW Saturday night, and they continued it the next week. And like part of me felt ripped off, but part of me thought it was really cool because I didn't have the internet in like 1995. I couldn't possibly watch that. Actually, now that I remembered it, I believe it was February of 96, and it ended up going to a DQ the next week. But it was for the title. This was also for the title. Finn Balor becomes two-time NXT champion. And kind of cool, man. He came back to give that brand some star power, and he did it. He gave him some star power. They're getting spanked every week in the viewership, and that's a bummer for them because they've watered down their product a lot, but this was not a part of that getting watered down. This was a good match. This went heavy on the strikes and the chain wrestling. I have some conflicted feelings of Adam Cole kicking out of the coup de grace. On one hand, Adam Cole lost. He lost the match. But he is taking more of a babyface approach. After Finn Balor beat him, he showed Finn Balor a lot of respect. They did the Too Sweet backstage, which I like. It's a callback to their Bullet Club days, which they never enjoyed together, but WWE has done a better job of making it seem like you're Bullet Club for life than New Japan has in recent years, which is kind of funny. But I thought that was a good way to make him look like he had a lot of heart, as if a year-plus title reign in NXT wasn't enough. Heel, face, tweener, whatever he may be. I think that's a pretty good way to show that you got some heart, but also, it's the first time that I can remember that anybody has ever kicked out of the coup de grace. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, if somebody kicked out of it, is he going to use that as his finish from now on? Because I like Bloody Sunday 1916, as Vic Joseph called it, the reverse inverted 1916, which opens up a whole can of mental worms that I have no idea how to even parse, no idea how to even start with. But I like those moves a lot more. Now, the issue is, they always say, you want a finish you can do to everybody. I disagree. I think you should have a couple finishes, two or three, that you can do. Maybe one you can do to everybody, maybe one that you don't. You can just do to smaller guys. I would like a little bit of all that. But I'm liking Finn Balor in the last year more than I've liked him in every bit of his WWE experience, NXT included, prior to this. I wasn't that high on his NXT run the first go of it. He just didn't click for me. Now that he's been a little bit more weathered, he's been through a lot, and we're seeing a different side of him, so to speak, a more aggressive side. I'm really, really enjoying Finn Balor's work, and for a long time I didn't enjoy his work. I would see those drop kicks that would look like they hurt him a lot more than other people. And I don't see those as much anymore. And even when I do, it doesn't seem like he leans on them nearly as much. So big congrats to Finn Balor, two-time NXT champion, winning the title for the second time. And there are only three two-time NXT champions in history: Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Finn Balor. And Finn Balor is the first new one in like 3.5 years. This is Finn Balor's, the first time he won the championship was, I want to say 5 years ago. It was 2015 for sure. It was July 4th at Beast in the East, now that I think of it. So, making some history there. And Adam Cole, with his 400-day recognized reign, it's like, okay, well, where does he go from here? I'm open to finding out. As I've said before, I think he's a fixture on that brand, but if they bring him up, they better have something to replace him and the rest of that team, because he's very much needed. Robert Stone steals the interviewer when she's trying to interview Finn and takes us to Shotzi Blackheart's tank, where she's trying to, Robert Stone's trying to destroy it. However, she runs, Aaliyah attacks Shotzi, who shows up, and gets run into Io Shirai, who's having a photo shoot. Io chases Aaliyah into the ring. She and Shotzi take her out. Shotzi has one amazing enziguri on her. It's just, it's a work of art. Beautiful, effortless. I don't want to say defies gravity. It's just so smooth and quick, and it snaps really well. It always looks like $1 million. Really enjoying her within the confines of the ring. The Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox thing. Tegan Knox joins them for dinner. It is very awkward, and I like that. Eventually, Candice LeRae tosses a meal onto her. Okay. Natural progression. They had tried, quote-unquote, to make the friendship work. And that's an approach that we don't often see in pro wrestling. A babyface, a heel. They want to make it work. They try to make it work. It just ain't working. I like that. Not just, oh, let's attack this person and be done with it. I've kind of liked that about some of the splits that we've seen of late. We've seen almost every kind of split. We've seen a turn with Cedric Alexander, just a straight-up turn. We've seen an amicable split with Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. We've seen people try to work it out, Candice LeRae and Tegan Knox, even though they're not a team. It's still, you know, it's still one of those situations. And honestly, I'd love to see them still team despite this. I'd love to see Johnny be like, listen, make it work. I think it'd be kind of funny. And we've also seen Big E step out from the New Day with the blessing of Kofi Kingston. So I think that's pretty cool. They end up brawling. Pretty good stuff. Timothy Thatcher's wrestling school. He's showing a video of Damian Priest. And I'm just sitting here thinking, all right, that's cool. I'd like to see him rack up wins, though. He beat Bronson Reed. That's good. Because right out of the gate, he was targeting Damian Priest. And I'm like, why? Well, fortunately, they had him beat Bronson Reed. But I like there to be more than just like one win. I mean, that helps, but I'd like it to be more than that. Velveteen Dream versus Ashante Adonis. All right, I got a look at Ashante Adonis. The former Tahuti Miles, and something about him last night just clicked. Something just clicked. He needed probably the name change too, because Tahuti Miles had been synonymous with jobbing out. I liked him. I thought he should have beaten Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream has a whole gaggle of other stuff going on, and he looked really good in the offense. Velveteen Dream made him look really good. Make no mistake, among all the stuff that Velveteen Dream is getting called out for right now, plenty of it rightfully so, man is talented in the ring, and he made Ashante look like $1 million. I think they should have just went right on and had Ashante win and immediately established him as a player. Because a lot of people were talking about Ashante Adonis after this, and no offense to the man, nobody was talking about Tahuti Miles before this. Kushida shows up out of nowhere, attacks Dream as payback for several weeks ago. I see, my thing is, I like the attack from Kushida, but I wanted Ashante to win clean. Maybe a quick roll-up, but win. That would have been really, really good. Imperium cut in. They say that Breezango are a joke. They're going to take their titles back next Wednesday. I don't know what's going on with this tag team division. It ain't great. None of them are great right now. I get the feeling WWE are about to combine some of their tag titles, and that's a shame. That's a shame. Because they got more than enough talent to have great tag team wrestling instead of just womper doodles of matches that don't mean anything. You got to do better than that. Bronson Reed defeated Austin Theory. Fun match. Fun match. I'm glad Bronson Reed got the win. They clearly have finally seen something in Bronson Reed. He's clicked onto that next level. Austin Theory probably needs to lose a couple upon coming back for reasons. He ain't going to be hurt. He's young. He's got probably 15, 20 years left in this business as long as he doesn't do anything stupid. Bronson Reed picks up the win. I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good call. Roderick Strong defeated Killian Dane. It's hard for me to get into Killian Dane right now. I'm going to need to see something else out of him. Roderick Strong, I like. After the match, Drake Maverick comes out to help Dane. Dane attacks Drake Maverick. I'm interested in Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Add them to the tag team division. Because I don't buy Killian Dane beating anybody right now. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride with that guy, and it's a shame. Talented guy, but they've never really fully invested in him. Damian Priest is facing Timothy Thatcher next week. Keep your eye on that. Steel cage match. This was a good one. This was a good one. Boy, I love that finish. That riptide through the table out of the corner. Mercedes Martinez is great. Mercedes Martinez has put her all into getting over Rhea Ripley. And a lot of you might say, well, you don't got to get over Rhea Ripley. You got to stay over. Especially with the way that some of these people are booked, the way they're taught to do promos and all that. You got to. And Mercedes Martinez did everything she could to make herself look good, make Rhea Ripley look good, and make this main event worthy. And this was main event worthy. This ruled. From the prison trap to the kendo stick, Robert Stone getting hung on the top of the cage. This was just a fun main event. That riptide counter into the fisherman's buster, the suplex onto the chair. Good stuff, man. And you knew Rhea Ripley was going to win. I get the feeling Mercedes Martinez is about to head up to the main roster. Good. They need her. Probably in retribution. Who knows? But I can't say enough good things about Mercedes Martinez, and I can't say enough good things about just the ability to adapt and learn of Rhea Ripley. We often forget how young she is. She's 23. She'll be 24 next month. That is so young. A wrestler's prime these days, it seems like for the women, maybe early 30s, maybe. For men, it's like mid-30s to 40. And wrestlers are wrestling longer than ever at a higher level than ever than before. I mean, you used to have plenty of guys in their 40s, 50s wrestling in the 70s and 80s. But quite frankly, they weren't in great shape. They weren't really putting on amazing matches. And here she is. For all we know, she might last another 20 years. For all we know, she might last another 30 years. We don't know. Amazing. I mean, Mercedes is like 40. 17 years her junior, and they both looked like they were on the level, the same level. And that is a true mark of special talent. Whether it be one that is, I don't want to say as inexperienced as Rhea Ripley. She's been wrestling a long time. But as young as Rhea Ripley and as experienced as Mercedes Martinez, that is one of the arts of pro wrestling. And it's one of the arts of pro wrestling that I love so much. Really, really good episode of NXT, and I thought they needed it. NXT has felt like Raw light far too often lately, and that did not happen on Tuesday night. You had a great steel cage match that I think was the blow-off of a feud. You had Roderick Strong and Killian Dane, which didn't continue a ton of stuff, but you had the Drake Maverick, Killian Dane stuff afterwards. Bronson Reed and Austin Theory was the first match in a feud between these two, which I hope is it. He beat him. That's it. Move on. You had title matches made. You had Ashante Adonis looking really good and Kushida continuing a feud. Robert Stone, Shotzi, Aaliyah, Io doing their thing. You had storyline progression with Candice and Tegan, and then an NXT championship match. This show felt important, and that matters. Jurassic Express defeated the Lucha Brothers. I like this match a lot. This had one of the dumbest finishes I've ever seen. Penta, who is now Penta L0M, accidentally hit a destroyer on Phoenix. That is just one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in my life. Whoever agented this, somebody's got to talk to him and say, why did you sign off on this? Why did you think this was okay? Maybe it was shown to him, you know what? They can pull this off in a convincing manner. Come on. I mean, one of the things, quite frankly, Chris Jericho, FTR, a lot of people, that they harped on AEW about was some of the unbelievable stuff, and not in a good way, that the Lucha Brothers were doing. And I love the Lucha Brothers. I think Rey Fénix is one of the best in the world. I thought Pentagon, season 1 of Lucha Underground, I thought he was unstoppable. Amazing. Could have thrown him in there with Brock Lesnar and I would have bought it. But this going on right now, that's, man, that doesn't make anybody look good. And like the spot we saw a couple months ago with Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks where they're holding people up to do a destroyer off the top rope, that doesn't make anybody look good. That's too much. I mean, you got to do some element of working with people in almost everything. But come on, man. Make it plausible. This wasn't plausible. Eddie Kingston gets on the microphone. You know what Eddie Kingston does? He cuts a great promo. He tells Butcher, Blade, Lucha Brothers to get over it. They need to be doing their thing. And he mentioned Pac, too. He said, your little British buddy isn't here. I am. Kingston said he was never actually eliminated from the Casino Battle Royale. So he's making his case. I like this. Just everybody has a little bit of something and win or loss. Another one of those arts of pro wrestling I like so much. Roberts and Archer cut a promo. We see one with Moxley a little bit later. They are going to face off in like a month on the anniversary edition of AEW Dynamite. I dig that. Build up that anniversary show as a special event. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty sure NXT is going to come along and do Halloween Havoc or something. Well, whatever. I like it. I like the counter-programming, the counter-booking, so to speak. This is a little bit different than something like, oh, hey, I know that AEW is doing a show that is used to benefit a charity, but we're going to run Evolve the same night and just add that to the network. This is a little bit different than that. They're both on Wednesdays or whatever. Do it. It's fun. I like that. And I like the jabs. I like the banter. It's harmless. So let's go ahead and get to another thing I thought was harmless. Kip Sabian, who I think a lot of, is out there doing... He's going to reveal his best man. And he reveals his best man, the former Rusev. This is big for AEW. You know, they're going to get the naysayers that say, oh, more WWE cast-offs. Well, the reality of the situation is, guys... WWE had a talent stranglehold for about 3 or 4 years. They were just stockpiling people. They were stashing people. And he's now known as the best man, Miro. I dig it. I think it's fun. He comes out and he says, and this is a quote, so I'm not breaking no profanity September. He says, 10 years in the same house with the same glass ceilings trying to get the same... brass ring, and they can shove that brass ring up their ass. There was just a whole rash of, oh my god, AEW taking more shots at WWE. Why is Rusev so sour grapes? That make them look minor league. Man, get over it. I mean, I hate to sound like the old head, but I guess I am the old head at this point. You would not have made it a week watching WCW or WWF content. Period. WCW was running commercials, Where the Big Boys Play, that showed WCW wrestlers beating up people who are now in WWF. Eric Bischoff was giving away the results and making fun of super kicks, Sweet Chin Musics, on his show. Tony Schiavone was saying, oh, Mick Foley, that'll put a lot of butts in the seats. And that was a bummer for him. That one sucked. But it wasn't just them. So you're not going to give me this, oh, it makes them look minor league. If it does to you, then it does to you. But it's not going to be their undoing. I mean, Eric Bischoff challenged Vince McMahon to a fight. And they weren't the only ones. Jim Cornette cut a shoot promo on Piper and Hogan. There was a billionaire Ted segment skits. They did a fake Razor and Diesel despite it. John Cena mentioned TNA. Kurt Angle said, I hear TNA is hiring. There's the whole pissant company. Comment. There's Sami Zayn saying, I might go to AEW. It's harmless. It is harmless banter. They are in competition, and quite frankly, most of these people are friendly with one another. I don't have a problem with it in the world. I think it is fun, and hey, maybe that's the headline writer in me. I don't have a problem with it. Now, I will say this. I thought the promo itself was not good. I thought the introduction itself was not good. However, the prevailing message that came out of that was, WWE and AEW, man, they're in competition. And nobody's getting hurt physically by this. Where's the harm? Where's the harm? Let me get my headlines, for the love of God. I've got some information on Rusev's contract that will be up on FightfulSelect.com tomorrow. Alex Marvez knocks on the Young Bucks' door, and they hit him with a super kick. Amazing. I dig it. They got fined $5,000 each for that. Matt Hardy thanks the fans, talks about his nasty fall, and he says that it didn't turn out the way that he envisioned, but he's going to get healthy and chase the AEW title. Says he is not done yet. This guy is so tough, and that match should not have continued. I pointed the finger all over the place. I mean, not all over the place. I pointed the finger at medical staff and Tony Khan repeatedly this week. That match should not have continued. Should not have continued. You book your way around it. You get out of it. You take care of Matt Hardy. You bring him back with a storyline or something. I get it. They want to adhere to stipulations. I understand. There's a way to do that. Orange Cassidy defeated Angelico. I'm conflicted on the Orange Punch because he's got like a beautiful tornado DDT and all that, and he's using the Superman Punch that is a setup move for a guy twice his size on WWE SmackDown. And I am not of the belief, all due respect to Orange Cassidy, I'm not one of those size matters always guys. I'm not one of those. I just see the tornado DDT and I'm like, man, that looks so much better. Orange Cassidy get the win. Santana and Ortiz attack from behind. And best friends chase them off. They say they're coming to hurt Santana and Ortiz in the parking lot next week. So we're going to have a parking lot brawl. And I am for that as well. We had interviews with Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And these were so good. These were so good. Page says he feels all right. And Shivani's like, don't give me the stock answer. Tell me the truth. This is good. I like Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross in these roles. This played to both of their strengths, and Jim Ross seemed like he was on his best behavior tonight, as Rovert pointed out on Twitter. Hangman Page made an amazing excuse for why the crowd was so quiet. I mean, quite honestly, what it was the humidity. The crowd was exhausted. But the way that Hangman Page was able to spin it, he says, like, a hush came over the crowd. Like, I could see the expressions, but I couldn't hear anything. Because it's like everybody was just waiting for Kenny Omega to finally have enough of me, for us to finally split. And Paige wants to reclaim those titles with Omega. This was real good. And what a great excuse, quite frankly, for why the crowd was exhausted. Omega, on the other hand, tells Jim Ross, if he wants to accomplish those things, he'd better keep dreaming because he's ready to move on to the singles division. This is cool, man. You got Hangman Page saying, no, I don't want to split. I'm liking this. And Omega going, yeah, I do want to split. I'm ready for this. Really cool. Inner Circle defeated Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. This was Jericho and Hager. Fun match. Really fun match. Jericho is in work with the youngins mode right now. And I mean, Orange Cassidy isn't a youngin, but you get what I mean. Working with newer talent mode, and I'm all for that. Joey Janela, really great as always. The man has some incredible offense. He took a nasty spot through the table. And this was used to highlight Sonny Kiss really, really well. I love that kick in the corner, especially the one that he hit on Jericho. And Jericho took it like amazingly. Hager hit Kiss with a Uranagi out of an arm triangle for a three count. I like that. It's a twist out of that finishing move. This is a way to help get Jake Hager over. And after the match, Chris Jericho says that he and Jake Hager are going to start racking up their wins. And they're going to go for the AEW tag team titles. Mentions the bad night they had at AEW All Out. I like this. It's something different. It's what I want to see, like, out of a lot of the people who have spent time over and over again at the top of the card around wrestling, whether it be AEW or NXT or ROH or anything. I like that. I mean, I wish we'd see that out of Adam Cole. At one point, I wanted to see it out of Randy Orton, too. I wanted a Randy Orton-Shelton Benjamin team. Angry old man tag team. But now what Randy Orton's doing is way better than that. So, no problem. But I'm excited for this out of Jericho. MJF is in the control room with his political team. He basically fires the whole staff. He does fire the whole staff. And he says Wardlow cost him the AEW world title. And says that he's Wardlow's boss, not Tony Khan. Says that he's Wardlow's only friend and he'll put his whole family on the street if they have a problem with it. Really good heel work out of John Moxley here. And I hope it keeps Wardlow on the hook for a while. Ricky Starks comes out dressed as Darby Allin. Starks says he's going to show him what the meaning of Reckless is. Starks is such an amazing promo. What an amazing promo that guy is. FTR and Blanchard are out. They insult Jurassic Express, who are around the ring for their celebration. Jurassic Express get up and fight them off. Marco grabs a cooler and dumps it on FTR. They're going to face each other next week. But my thing is, like, they just lost a big match to the Young Bucks at All Out. And maybe it's non-title. Maybe that's the case. And I know that they won tonight. But it's like, man, you look at the tag team division. All right, Chuck and Trent have a match. Why aren't the Young Bucks facing FTR for this title? From a realistic standpoint, why aren't they? Are Jurassic Express ranked? Because the last time I checked the rankings, Natural Nightmares, Santana and Ortiz, Young Bucks, Best Friends, Omega, Page, FTR were ranked. That's what I remember them being. Not big on this. Nyla Rose defeated Tay Conti. Tay got signed today. That's good for AEW. You got to stack the depth of that roster. Nyla won with a beast bomb. Vicky got on the microphone, said she's there to make a statement. Like, I like Vicky Guerrero, but I need something besides the loud excuse me and all that stuff. It's not the right kind of heat, in my opinion. Rose tries to attack Conti, and Hikaru Shida makes the save. Shida told us on the media scrum, which you all can watch on our YouTube channel, that she really wants to face Nyla Rose again. And they've rebuilt Nyla Rose. It's just Nyla Rose is in a situation where she's beaten Big Swole. She won a tag match against Shida and Statlander. She won a handicap match, and then she hasn't really wrestled that much on Dynamite in the last couple months. Since July 2nd, I think that our Fyter Fest, I don't think she's wrestled on Dynamite until tonight. She did the tag match, and then she worked one time last month. So I'm like, man, get her in there and get her some wins. And that's what they did tonight. But they made it pretty transparent that they were going right back to that program. And I'm okay with that. The match will be good, I'm sure. Last one was. But, yeah. I'm all right with that, but her last title reign was more about her doing tag matches than it was her actually defending the title over 3 months. And that's the problem with what they do. They ditch people from their show when they become women's champion. And hopefully that doesn't happen with this program or with these participants. Mr. Brody Lee defeated Dustin Rhodes for the TNT Championship match. Wow. Dustin Rhodes is still amazing to watch in the ring. I had posted the stat that that he had not had a singles televised one-on-one title match on TV since 2004 when he faced Jeff Jarrett for the NWA World Championship. This guy can still go. I gotta see him hold a title of some point. He's really great. I jokingly called him El Hijo del Dusty Rhodes because he's doing good lucha things. Like, he's doing these jumping Hurricanranas off the second rope, Canadian Destroyers. and they don't look forced. This isn't like John Cena doing a Hurricane Rana 15 years ago, or gosh, 10 years ago, whatever it was, where he doesn't... It looks good, man. It looks really good. And this is a guy I've been watching, quite frankly, the entire time I've been a pro wrestling fan. And he didn't get any singles televised title shot, like one-on-one, from the time he was 35 until the time he was 51. And 35 to 51, it's pretty wide. And he was working in Japan, working in WWE, TNA, AEW, a little bit of everywhere. This match was really fun, really good. And Brody Lee got the win, as it should have happened. Lee nails Dustin Rhodes with a low blow. Ends a good dynamite. Sorry, I had a hiccup. Cody shows up at the end. His big announcement is that he is going to be a judge for the Go Big Show on TBS. Okay, man. All right, then. Whatever makes you happy. Well, this show has made me happy because this was a lot of good wrestling to talk about. Quite frankly, when I started this podcast, I wanted it to be like 10, 15 minutes, just a quick run through some results, brief thoughts. It's turned into a show that I ended up doing 30 plus minutes, which was not the plan. But I hope you guys like it. If you do, tell the world, because I like you an awful lot. Thank you all. We're out.